B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
His face off of sweat with a towel, and he goes, "Oh, happy birthday, Charles." And then kind of eye rolls and gives this look like, "Why'd you make me do that, Alex?"
No, he mockingly said, "Sir Charles."
And then he's like, "Yeah, Sir Charles."
Oh, Sir Charles.
No, I didn't.
And then they cut to the studio, and Charles, he looks stunned. And Shaq started hysterically laughing. It was like, "Oh, I know that look. That's the look I give Charles all the time."
Yeah, it did look like, "Oh, yeah."
I thought they flipped right over to the Rockets game.
No.
Ah, drat. I missed it.
Yeah. It was a look of, "Yeah, I'm done with you, man."
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
But who's your troll guy?
Well, real quick, you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. My troll guy is Skip Bayless.
He's the
ultimate troll.
He's such a troll, I blocked him on, so I never see his crap come into my timeline on Twitter.
You know, on Twitter, he does not follow anybody?
That's a troll move.
That's a statement move. All right? I almost admire that one. But every once in a while, like when we had Elaine Vigneault on, or when we talked to Tobias Harris last week, whatever it might be, you always want to get a statement from someone you're interviewing. Do you not, Trey?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you probably avoided it and put the white tape down.
Yes.
Leave me the hell alone. I ain't giving you anything.
I don't want to talk right now.
I ain't giving you jack squat. Because the whole idea is to get you to say something, whether it's inflammatory or whether it's bold, whatever it might be. So Lane Johnson... You're already shaking your head.
No.
Lane Johnson.
Lane had a day yesterday.
He did have a day yesterday.
He went to the TaylorMade headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
He met Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, did he give him a Pro Bowl jersey?
A Pro Bowl jersey.
Yeah.
And then went on set with the biggest troll of them all.
Yeah. I like to explain it as Skip Bayless could not be more of a troll if he did his show under a damn bridge. All right? And last night, he gets Lane Johnson on the program, yesterday afternoon.
You have to play the troll told if you want to go onto my TV set.
So he says, "Hey, Lane, well, I'll let you hear it right now." Because Lane Johnson goes on the show, and this is being blown out of proportion because people want to turn this into bulletin board material for the Cowboys in the upcoming season. And it's just the ultimate troll job by Skip Bayless. Take a listen to them yesterday.
One shot, one kill, Skip.
Yes, sir.
So, will you guarantee 2 Eagles victories next year over the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, hey, don't ask me dumb questions. I mean, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hey,
I like that.
That's what I'm going to say. You better be confident.
I think we got a hell yeah.
Yes.
What the hell is he going to say? Like, what are you? He wasn't even crafty about trolling him. He just came out and said, "So you're going to guarantee 2 wins? What is he going to do?" No, I don't think we'll get 2 wins. Like, what is Lane Johnson going to say to that? And now, because of the clickbait headline reading only media and fans out there that are just don't read the article, now that's going to turn into stupid bulletin board material for the Cowboys.
Of course it is.
So,
and that's why.
But what's he
going to
say?
It.
Exactly. Cowboy fan Skip Bayless. Troll Skip Bayless. Like, he wasn't even... like Bob, as a journalist, you have to be offended by that. There was no craftiness to it.
I would be offended if I considered Skip Bayless a journalist.
And he's not anymore.
Therefore, I'm not.
And he's not anymore. He's an entertainer. He made the transition. So, there was nothing about that was creative. There was no wittiness about it. It was just... I know Lane Johnson's not going to back down if I put these words in his mouth. And sure enough, Lane Johnson met it with a hell yeah. What else is he going to say?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Pretty good.
Pretty good right there. Adam in Germantown. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Great show.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, just wanted to talk about the best player in the league's comments last night.
Oh, yes, Joel Embiid, best player in the world.
I'm sorry, best player in the world.
Yeah.
Of all time.
In my opinion, which you probably won't agree with, players that draw attention to themselves with comments like this before they've ever won anything, never win anything. To me, it's something a great player does, and Joel Embiid is a top 5 player, no doubt in the league already.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's something a bad teammate says. You know, if you are going to be interviewed, it doesn't take much to say, you know, I respect Trey He gave me a tough time tonight. Jarrett did his best on me tonight, and I got the best of them. And I had a really good game going. Their team really competes. They took us to overtime. My teammates believed in me. They kept feeding me the ball, and I took advantage. And, you know, we were able to get the win tonight, and that's what it's all about, getting the highest seed and getting, you know, a championship. But when you make it all about you, again, that to me is all about being a great player and a bad teammate. I know you'll disagree.
That I do disagree with that, and thanks for the call. And the only reason I disagree with it is because I think the players expect this from Joel. Like, I go back to the J.J. Redick comment about the most dramatic player he's ever played with. That's what J.J. Redick called Joel Embiid.
Right.
I think the players find it funny. I don't think they find it as like, oh, come on, Joe, what the hell, man? And it's because he has that personality. You think that you think it catches their attention in a negative way when he says stuff like that?
I don't think they pay attention to it all that much, but like anything, and we talked about this during the break, when you hear something over and over and over and over again, I don't know that you can still find it funny. Mm-hmm. And I do think they say, yeah, that's Joe being Joe.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a, oh, man, that's Joe being Joe. I think anymore it's just, yeah, that's Joe being Joe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, if I'm a teammate of his for 5 years and I constantly see him going on interviews saying, I'm just trying to be the greatest in the world and I'm doing this and when I do that and I do me. Okay, like, that's Joe, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I don't love it, I don't hate it, it's just like, that's Joe. I'd probably just drown it out.
All right, here is Joel Embiid after the game, talking about, you know, his status in the world when it comes to being a basketball player.
You know, the All-Star game just proving that, you know, I'm here, I belong in being the best player in the world. You know, I just intend to just, you know, keep coming out every single night, just play hard, trying to get wins, and you know, just go out and trying to win a championship.
What are you supposed to do with that, Trey? That's a guy that's just, I think he's just, you talk about trolling, that's a guy who's trolling.
Okay.
He's not the best player in the world. We know that. I think
he's
most
got potential
people,
to be.
Yeah.
It's a great potential.
Yeah, you know what? If he did what him and what Charles and Shaq told him to do all those months ago, then maybe he would come out and be the best player in the world.
Who's the biggest doubter of him being the best player in the world?
The biggest outer?
Doubter.
Of him? Oh, doubter of him being the best player in the world.
Giannis and Kawhi Leonard?
I might go Joel Embiid. Is he trying to convince himself by saying this all the time?
Oh, wow. Yeah, speaking
like,
of
if you really have
one.
Confidence in yourself, and Trey, you're the only professional athlete of the group, if you really have that confidence in yourself, and we've known great players in every sport throughout our lifetime, how many of them have to tell you over and over again that they are? And how many of them have?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, like,
I don't think I've
who's
ever
he
heard
convincing?
LeBron. No, LeBron said it, but Giannis has probably never said it. Kawhi's probably never said it.
I don't remember Jordan saying it, Kobe saying it. I don't remember, you know, like Peyton Manning, Wayne Gretzky, whoever you want to say. They didn't have to come out and keep saying, I'm the greatest in the world. I'm the greatest in the world. Mm-hmm. I got to be this. They just did it.
Well, I mean,
I know that's old school and all that, and it's petty, and you know, why do you have to say it all the time?
Yeah, he's trying to talk himself up.
And because he's weird as hell. That's why.
There's that.
Yeah. Whenever I'm thinking of like comparing him to anybody, I'm at a loss.
Yeah, I agree with
because
you.
Because
yeah.
he is marching to beat his own drum. He has broke the mold, as they say, but I don't want to say it in a complimentary form. I want to say it in a way that is still baffling to me.
Yeah.
Because I have truly never seen an athlete like him. I have never talked about an athlete like him the way we've talked about him in Philadelphia. He is so unique. Any comparison you draw, like we've dropped a Charles Barkley comparison. Is he the guy that can get away with anything? Like, he's at a point right now where, Trey, when we started the show, you made an interesting point about, is this where we're at right now with the booing going back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
Like, since the booing incident and the shush and the shut the bleep up moment, since all that, is it like, because they're missing shots last night early in the game. Like, they were still winning, and the crowd started booing. Like, is this where we're at, where we think this is what Joel Embiid needs to get to that next level? Because here's what we know he needs. He needs to almost challenge himself. I don't know if it's selling himself on it. By coming out and making a bold statement, it's almost like what makes him focus in a game. That BS drama off the court that shouldn't matter is what matters most to him.
It does.
Because it feeds into how well he plays in the game.
Yeah.
And now, and I don't think it's any mistake that he came out with that piping hot take right before they take on who?
I was just going to say, you want to back up, you believing you're the best player in the world? Go out on Saturday, ABC game, the whole NBA world will be watching, and dominate. That simple.
Go ahead, be the best player in the world.
Yeah, show it.
Against the guy that's the reigning MVP, which is kind of the reigning best player in the world. Best player.
So him saying it is probably more calculated than I originally thought. Yeah. It probably is.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And you're right. It is fun. It's we can chuckle at it. And I'm not downing him at all. But it's just he just goes back to it all the time. And he's not prodded to do so. It's not the questions aren't going there. I just wonder why he feels the need to do it.
I think he heard you last week. He gave Ben Simmons a little love last night in the post game.
I got some people on Twitter. Oh, see?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I wasn't wrong. Yeah. I said that he never had done it, and then he did it.
That Joel Embiid's a big listener of the show.
Oh, God, he's at 5 a.m. he starts.
And you got to give the big man credit. Did you see what happened in the locker room? Brett gives him the bell.
Oh, yeah.
Says, Joel, you're a bell ringer. And Joel says, nah. Alec Burks, come on over here and ring this bell.
Look at that.
And he passed the bell ringing off to the new guy.
Great teammate, Joel Embiid.
That's a great point.
Burks kind of gave it the, like, just real quick, like, one back and forth.
Mm.
And everybody was like, no, what are you doing, man? Ring that bell. He did it again, and then Josh Richardson was like, no, man, like, really ring the bell.
This is how we do it.
Yeah.
You're, like, tingling.
He just gave a little ding-ding-ding. And they're like, nah, man, shake that thing.
You got to shake it, and we douse you with water. What the hell's the matter with you? And he's like, what's water? Just shut up and ring the bell.
Water.
It was cool to say.
610-632-0975. If you want to get on the program, got some open lines for you if you want to jump on. Coming up, Bobby mentioned it. It was an embarrassing thing yesterday, and it just doesn't make any damn sense. How the hell the Phillies get to keep $2.5 million that should have been in the back pocket of JT Real Muto is still beyond me. Hey, look, is it a business? We all know it's a business, but it's also a bad look. We'll get into that in a second here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Friday. Happy Friday.
I'm making weak at the knees. I'm making weak at the knees.
Oh, yeah. What could that mean? Trasimus?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid could make me weak at the knees tomorrow night if he shows up big time.
Hey-o. I'll be at a party Saturday night.
Washington, D.C. But I'm pumped it's a national game.
Yeah, of course.
I can actually watch it.
Yeah, I'll be at a party.
I don't know about this.
There's going to be a good atmosphere watching the Sixers on Saturday night take on the Bucks.
So who do we get there? Breen and...
What?
Calling the game. Is that the Breen crew?
I don't know.
I think it will be.
Okay.
You're like Bob. You don't care who calls the game.
I don't.
Just watch it.
Yeah. It just indulge.
Doesn't matter.
In that regard.
Certainly don't listen to guys who watch it and think of them with women's lingerie on like Jamie.
I'm sorry that every time I hear Marv Albert, I picture him wearing like a garter belt under his suit.
Oh, I picture.
I can't shake that.
I don't.
Oh, totally.
See, I'm a little different.
See, doesn't that disturb you the way you just said that?
Oh, totally. You're picturing, I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is, yes! I didn't bite her. Like, that's what I'm hearing.
My thong is tight.
It's a 25-year-old story by now.
Yes, you know, it is, and I can't shake it. I can't shake
that's
it.
That's a you thing,
him
dude.
And Oscar De La Hoya, forever. When I picture them in my mind, they're women wearing women's panties and high heels.
The Golden Boy did it, so did I. That's kind of where your mind goes.
Yeah.
As it should.
I wish I could
shake
it.
His name was Goldie. Sam, you have a Twitter poll.
He was at the Ritz-Carlton.
Sam was just filming
Bob
that.
Bob says it's like, yeah, I want to think about that.
Okay, yeah. It was a cool Instagram moment for our story because you're on TV and then you're also right there. So I was trying to do a play on that and you ruined it.
What?
They were showing Quick Science last night.
Oh, me, Gunner and I.
Yeah, so I was like, Mark!
Gunner and I having some fun. Yes, of course. Yes. Barrett needed a day. Barrett had a day off. They rolled me in for Quick Slants. Sam, go ahead and give us an update on our Twitter poll, please.
Today we're asking, did the Sixers win enough for you last night? For example, like the Flyers. Yes or no? We have just under 900 votes so far. It's close. 51% say yes, they did win enough.
That is a loss. Even though it's a win, it's a loss. 51% in a game that you won, a game that you struggled in, but came back without your all-star point guard. Yeah, people are hilarious. 51% they did not win enough last night. Like the Flyers.
And by the way, a couple tweeters have pointed this out.
What's that?
Marv Albert's famous saying.
Yes!
Well, besides that.
Miller time!
He loves a facial.
That chipmunk wasn't supposed to go there.
Whoa! Yes!
Who brought this gerbil in here?
Oh, no.
What's wrong, Bob? You uncomfortable?
I feel good.
See, Bob, maybe you're like me. Maybe you don't get the... No, as you say, I don't get the reference. I get the reference.
It's a lot of gerbil there! End of the lane!
All right.
The gerbil squeaks through.
Joel Embiid, facial. Yes.
Yeah.
That's an impression that doesn't die.
Marv's a kinky
You
man,
go to that just like raspy yelling voice. Yeah. It's all Marv Albert.
Yeah. And he's like 78. We looked it up earlier.
78. Yeah. Hubie Brown's 86.
Wow. Be that kinky at 78. Yeah. God bless him.
Well, Hubie Brown
was 25 years ago. Yeah. You think he's still kinky, huh?
Oh, you think you just drop a lingerie habit, Bob?
I have no idea, Tim. You tell me.
I think that's deep in your DNA.
This is who I am. Accept me. No lingerie shaming in 2020.
It's got to be kind of awkward for Kenny Albert, right?
He's a cross his panties.
Kenny Albert's like, I'm a plain Jane. I just like the normal stuff.
I like missionary.
I'm just totally fine with it. We're cool. Meanwhile, this freak of a brother is just still calling Kate. Like, he came back from that, and he's still doing a great job. Although, I'm pretty sure a couple of times last night he confused Alec Burks for Shake Milton and vice versa.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And I was just like, does he not, whatever, who cares? All right, it's Marv. That's live radio, folks. Embrace the spontaneity, that's what I say. Last night... Yesterday, the Flyers won this. There's no transition. I don't know. How are you?
Gerbil transitions?
I don't know. I'm good.
Man, Bob, how's your golf game these days in February?
My practice swings look very, very good.
Mm.
Or they feel good.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
The Flyers and the Sixers, they won yesterday, but so did the Phillies, as we pointed out earlier, because as I teased before the break and before the Marv Albert conversation, JT Realmuto took the L. Over $2.5 million from the Phillies and lost his arbitration case. I understand baseball's a business. I understand in the little grand scheme of things, especially if they get a big deal done, it's not that big a deal. But one of the first things I see yesterday after the arbitration was a list of baseball's top free agents going into the 2020 season. And JT Realmuto, or going into the 2021 season, and JT Realmuto is one of them. And I'm thinking, hey, I don't want him to be on that list. I don't want him to be a free agent. I want him to be locked up with the Phillies. And now over $2.5 million, I understand that's how business works and that's how it looks. But can we all agree this is a bad look for the Phillies when it's $2.5 million?
Yeah.
It's a terrible look.
Terrible look.
Best catcher in baseball. This isn't some fringe player that maybe you spent some time with you in the minors. You called him up and he did okay. Now, it's not like it's Adam Haseley. $2.5 million? This is a proven commodity. He gonna get that money anyway. $2.5 million to not give to your catcher, who's not only the best player in baseball, but the best catcher in baseball, one of the best players, if not the best player all around on your team, is ridiculous. I mean, think about it. We got the questions about Rhys Hoskins. We got questions about Bryce Harper. We certainly got questions about this rotation. Do we have any questions about the backstop?
No, not at all.
Zero. And that one guy that has zero question marks around him is the guy that you're playing, money with. Like, ticky-tack money. Like, come on. $2.5 million is ridiculous.
So now they have to, they got to bang out an extension on him or a long term contract like ASAP.
It's as soon as humanly
possible. Because they said they weren't going to do anything until the arbitration was settled. Now that it is, do right, Phillies. You know, get a long term deal done for this.
The talk was that this would keep them under the luxury tax, therefore they would be more apt to discuss the long term deal. Yada yada yada.
No. So, what do you do? 5, 25 Like, you know, they're 5 years, $25 million a year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think you're a minimum 100 for him.
Yeah, if you're talking about the grand scheme of things, no, I don't think they're going to lose him either.
No, they traded away one of their top catching prospects. They're not going to lose.
Which
him.
Is why when you and also one of their top pitching prospects in Medina, or excuse me, in Sixto Sanchez. So for me, look, yes, in the grand scheme of things, is it really going to super affect the Phillies? Most likely not, because they are going to give him an extension and they're going to probably blow him out of the water over the next couple of years with the money they're going to give him. And he wants to be here. Good. No, it's just, it's a bad look. And it's a negative thing that didn't need to be there. Why have a negative thing that doesn't need to be there?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I don't know.
You could have a 100% situation and you settled for like a 90. Yeah. Like, that's where we're at right now as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's funny. When I first heard the news yesterday, the headline that I heard was the Phillies won, and talking about the arbitration. I said, oh, but did they?
Right.
You know, but I this does all get settled. Boom. If he signs within the next couple of weeks a 5-year for $25 million a year, I think he'll be okay with losing out on that $2.5 million.
And I think he gets to. When a guy tells you that he doesn't really care much if it's $10 million he's getting paid or $12.5 million, I think he knows that there's a big payday right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I do think it'll be the Phillies that end up giving him that payday. Again, it's just why introduce a negative when you don't have to, when you have to take him now to a arbitration hearing, which you lose or which you win as a team. And Matt Klentak's like, well, we get to keep our $2.5 million and they're fine and they're good to go. So for me, it's just something that didn't need to happen. They got to that point where push came to shove, I guess, and somehow magically, maybe he had a throw to second base that was a little off the mark, and that's what it ended up costing them $2.5 million, because evidently the best catcher in baseball is not perfect enough for the $2.5 million. All right. It's not going to affect them long term. I'm going to think positive. They're going to bring him back, and they're going to blow him out of the water with a huge deal, and all will be right with the world. So I'm not going to be that upset about it.
Oh, no, you shouldn't.
Even though I was annoyed.
He'll be here.
Now, if I can, for a second, be a huge hypocrite, because we teased this earlier as well.
Being hypocrite's fun. What do you got?
Here's the best.
Super excited.
Yeah. I know I'm a hypocrite, but I will say right now, prior to a year from now, let's just call it January 2021, I will be in front of the TV watching the 6 games that take place over Wild Card Weekend in the NFL.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. The 6 teams involved, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing.
The term everybody gets a trophy comes to mind.
Nah.
43% of teams will be playoff teams.
Well, what is it in the other sports?
It's easy too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. It's stupid.
That's what made football stand out.
Yeah, exactly. It was hard to make the playoffs. It was hard to make the postseason.
Well, counterpoint.
You can win 10 games and still miss the playoffs.
What about the teams that are 8-8 and win a division? Like, frankly, the Eagles weren't really deserving of a playoff.
Correct.
And now
like a 9-7 Rams team and an 8-8 Steelers team would have made the playoffs last year. Like, is that really what we want in the playoffs? More 8-8 and 9-7 teams? How about the teams that played better during the regular season to make the playoffs? Just a thought. I'm a hypocrite because I'll be in front and I'll be screaming, oh, the Eagles can make the playoffs. Thank God they expanded. Like, I'll be talking about that coming the end of December.
More disparity. More chance. I mean, look at what the Tennessee Titans did this year. That's a whole nother team that can come in and play spoiler.
Right.
I'm for it.
I don't like making the playoffs less special. And I think that's what it does.
Oh, see, I think a whole nother game ramps up the specialness.
Yeah. But, well, we're not going to be, it's not like we're going to not be amped for a playoff game. I get it. Like, the one game playoff everybody agreed in baseball was dumb. It's made for TV, right? But if that's our team playing in it, then we're pretty excited.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I know how it works. Right. Yes, I'm a hypocrite. But I'm telling you right now, I just don't like expanding the playoffs because the playoffs are supposed to be something special. Like, you mean to tell me in the NBA it's a good thing when a team that's under 500 makes it into the playoffs?
I hear both sides of the argument. Jamie's, but we get to watch more games, and you're saying what you're saying, Mark. My thing, and I wanted to bring this up to Trey yesterday, but we didn't get into it. How do players feel about it? All right, they come to you. Listen, you're going to play an extra regular season game, and you have a chance of making the playoffs, but only one team gets a bye. So, like, if you look at a team like Kansas City this year, that would have been at least two more games for them to play. Mm-hmm. A regular season, and they wouldn't have gotten a bye. Like, two more games is a lot on a football player.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, I know you get extra money coming
in. Extra money.
They talk about the $5 billion that this extra game would, you know, bring in and playoffs.
Uh-huh. You get the
extra money. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you're like, all right, hey, whew, we get that extra couple of extra checks.
Uh-huh.
Let me go ahead and get that.
Yeah, but...
And you're taking away one of the preseason games.
Right, yes.
So, I mean...
Down to three.
But
go overseas for a game.
Yeah, did you hear how they're doing this, the money? Apparently in the week 17... Or week 18, I guess it would be.
Has it come out where the game will be played? A neutral location?
No, not yet. But
isn't it that everybody will go to London?
Well, that's one rumor.
As far as the money goes, though, can we make the most sense to just prorate what a player would get for the game check for the extra day?
Oh, you got to pay him a whole extra week.
Yeah,
shouldn't prorate that.
No. I understand that. But what I'm saying is take the average of what he was making throughout the season and just tack that on to the end. That would make sense, right? You're playing an extra game.
Yeah. So if you make $1 million a game, you get an extra million.
Yeah, you get an extra million, huh?
Yeah, apparently that's not in the proposal right now.
So what they're doing is, okay, say if you have a $7 million contract, they're just going to spread it out over, because your check is spread out over 17 weeks right now.
Uh-huh.
So now it'll be spread out over 18?
They want to do, an 18-week schedule.
That $7 million will be spread out over 18?
Kind of, but not really. What they want to do right now, I think, is cap it at like $250,000. So whatever you're making.
Why would the players agree to that?
Exactly. Why would the players agree to that?
The players union better not blow this.
Yes. Because
they actually have hand right now. Because the owners have all ratified and agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
The players have not.
The players are in a position.
Now's their time with hand.
They're in a position right now to go, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because the owners are like, we like all this. Here it is in writing.
Why do they like it?
Because it makes them money.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of money.
The 17th game is going to be $250,000. They want to cap it at $250,000.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I forget the exact percentage, but it's not like it is going to be the extra game check. You're going to get a game check, but supposedly, as of right now, the way it's structured, it's not going to be the money that you thought you were that you would normally get for a game check.
Yeah, I don't like
it's going to be like
ridiculous.
It's going to be like the playoffs where you don't get that normal game check.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
If the NFLPA agrees to that, they're the dumbest union ever.
Then they are even more so over the knee of the league than we thought.
And also, the other rumor is the 17th game is going to be a non-division geographically located rival.
Yeah, I think you play the closest high school to your stadium. I think that's how it plays.
But, I mean, that would kind of suck for the Eagles because that would probably be the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually very competitive. So there's got to be some balance there because if you're, like, say, the Browns, and let's pretend they're good,
mm-hmm.
they get the Bengals every year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, actually, they're a division.
Yeah.
They get the whoever, like a good team.
Well, what if the Redskins get the Ravens?
Yeah, they might the Eagles. Like, there has to be some fairness there.
Uh-huh.
You can't always play the same team because a lot of teams suck.
All right. Mm-hmm. This gentleman over here, his name is Trey Thomas, and he played in the league for 12 years. Trey, are you for playoff expansion?
I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Do you like it, though?
I'm okay with it.
I'll put you down as don't love it, but you're like, all right, fine. So, like, in all honesty, I guess I'm in the realm of I'm okay with it because I know I'll be in front of the TV. I just think right now I just think the idea, like, it used to be special to make the playoffs, and now it's more along the lines of that one game playoff in baseball where it's a made for TV event. We'll all watch. They'll make their advertising dollars with the networks, and it's the business of sports. I get it. I just like making the play.
One team gets a bye now.
It's like being a. It's, you know what it is? It's being a Pro Bowl alternate.
But
that's what it is. You still made the Pro Bowl, but did you?
So they're taking away one preseason game, but you're adding a one regular season game.
Yes, right.
And you're adding,
and taking away a bye.
So, for example, the Chiefs this past year would have had to play two extra games than they already did.
Yeah, so you're
right.
So you're adding two extra games onto the season.
For most teams, except for the one team that will get the bye, will only have the one extra
game. So you're only taking away one game, but you're adding two if you're...
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, good times.
The union better not botch this. Because the owner's already rich enough.
Trey, what's rattle around in your head about this?
I don't like the way that sounds, though. You're only taking away one, but you're adding two more games. I'm okay with the playoff thing, but I mean...
And who was playing in the fourth preseason game anyway?
Yeah, I appreciate
bubble guys.
Guys trying to get jobs.
Yeah.
So that's another thing the Players Association should be like, wait a minute. So are we expanding rosters? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Are we getting another buy? Are we expanding rosters?
Richard Santana just tweeted in, Week 18, Eagles Steelers, Beaver Stadium. Do it, cowards. But like that's it. You don't want to play the Steelers every year.
No.
Just because you're geographically, they're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Much like teams wouldn't want to play the Eagles every year because they're usually a good team. Like they need to figure out a lot still.
Oh, man. I might even make the trek up to Beaver Stadium.
That would
for
be
that
awesome.
That would be fun.
That would be pretty awesome.
100 and what does that hold? 106?
Something like that. Yeah. Whatever it is, I think it's like they bring in one more folding chair, and then the big house brings in one more folding chair, and then they just keep on going to see who's got the bigger stadium.
Yeah.
We're going to continue this conversation with that. 8:30, a little less than an hour from now, we're going to talk to our people of... you know, a little love connection, Trey.
Yeah.
Because we believe in love.
Yes, we love love.
Some might say we love love.
Yes, right.
We are doing something in cahoots with the 76ers and Rothman Orthopedics, where we are putting a beautiful young couple together. I don't even want to call them a couple. No pressure. I'm sure they don't like labels.
No, but
it's a blind date. And nowadays, with the kids on the Twitters and the Twitches, the Bumbles of the world and the Tinders, right? We're going to go out, you get a cup of coffee, whatever happens there on those dates. Well, this is a lot better than a cup of coffee, right? This is court-level tickets on a blind date to watch the Sixers take on the Hawks. On, what is this, Monday night, the 23rd, 24th, excuse me?
Yeah, Monday night.
People are having themselves a good time. And our listeners... First of all, let me just say this. We had about 170 people respond to our contest, our courting on the court contest. We will have the two finalists join us at 8:30, and that will be the first time they converse with one another. Blind date set up by our amazing dating algorithm, a.k.a. our promotions department. And there it was.
Yeah.
And we'll have those two people join us at 8:30. 9:15 today, Philadelphia's own, Temple University's own, ESPN's own. Kevin Negandhi will join us at 9:15 to talk about all things on the Philadelphia sports scene. We got Dave Howard, Mike, Anthony, Ralph. You guys stay right there. Time of the Fanatic. Oh, and also, right when we come back, the highlights of last night's games. Both Flyers and Sixers. Nice little highlight mashup for you with Tim Saunders and Tom McGinnis from 97.5 The Fanatic. And the time of The Fanatic is 7:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Love will be in the air at 8:30, but you know what? We can't go any further, ladies and gentlemen, without embracing the love that was last night. And you're going to hear the highlights of our two pro teams that were in action last night in the Flyers and the Sixers, but also shout out to Temple taking care of business against UConn in double overtime. Aaron McKee and the boys.
I just realized the game I was at last night went to overtime also.
What was in the air
of overtime? Trey, did you have any overtime last night?
No, not even.
So indecisive, people. Wow. So indecisive. Without further ado, here's a little highlight mashup.
Go ahead.
Do you have the Popeye's chicken sandwich? That's
no,
apparently sold like nobody's business in South Jersey.
He's a vegan.
He's a vegan now.
You see that?
What are you having?
Nature's Bakery Fig Bar.
Oh, the thing that's made from eggs? I'm kidding. I don't know.
Probably
an egg or two. I don't know. You look great.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, why are you
doing? He just busted right at you.
I was cutting you down.
Well, you know what it is?
I think it's made of eggs, cheater.
Not real.
Well, you know, Jimmy Seafood has the fight. The seafood place down in, just by Baltimore in Dundalk. Beautiful tropical Dundalk. Jimmy Seafood, they're always fighting with PETA online. This is a crab house down there.
I've heard you bring it up before.
When I go to visit my mom's parents down in Dundalk, that's our seafood place. That's the place I go to all the time, like from birth to now. They put out a thing yesterday, and it was a crab meat on top of a cheeseburger on top of onion rings.
Sure.
On top of, I think, a lobster claw was in there, too.
Why not?
What's it called? A heart attack?
No, I forget what they call it. Damn, it's such a good name, too. It's like on Parks and Rec when they have that sandwich, the meat tornado. You hand me a meat tornado. But I forget what it's called. But they said, and there's one available for vegans, too. And then it says, just kidding, we don't do anything for vegans.
No eggs.
Hey.
All right.
Yeah. You're doing fine. Without further ado, a little highlight mashup from last night's action here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gets it to center ice. They try to get it to Foligno. Jumps by the defenseman. He's in. Between the legs, he scores. What a move by Nick Foligno. And Columbus has responded with two goals in the first half of the first period.
Joel with it, turning baseline, and a soft shot is up and good.
Here's Boone Jenner with a shot. He scores. And again, traffic right down the doorstep in front of Brian Elliott. And Columbus has taken the two-goal lead again.
Goes back to LeVert. He'll hoist the three, and it's good. Caris LeVert now with five. Brooklyn with his 4-3. And after a 16-point opening quarter lead, the Sixers see their lead trimmed to three.
An opportunity to tie the game. Behind the net, they tee it up. Giroux with a shot. He scores! Claude Giroux set up by Couturier for even a three.
Here's Joel. Oh, boy, what a move by Embiid. Right on DeAndre Jordan. A Euro step. And Embiid mimics his own move as he changes ends.
He goes to Korkmaz. Fadeaway 17. Footer is good. Korkmaz puts it up and in. And the 76ers take the lead, 79-78. Konechny right wing pass. Hayes in, looking at the net. Kevin Hayes shoots. He scores! The overtime winner by Kevin Hayes, his second of the year. And the Flyers beat the Blue Jackets in overtime, 4-3.
Burks with the right hand dribble. Burks from the wing. Shot in the air. It's gone! Alec Burks has done it again. A sensational effort here in overtime. And the Sixers take a 6-point lead. They're going to hold it. They're going to win this game. They lead by 8. And remember, they trailed by 20 at 50-30 in the second quarter. And a standing ovation for the Sixers as they resume the NBA schedule with an overtime victory over Brooklyn.
A great night last night in Philadelphia sports. Both the pro teams winning. Temple taking care of business. Double overtime victory. Travis Konechny in that Flyers game getting his 21st goal of the season. That made it a 2-1 game before Columbus, and you heard it there. Columbus jumping out to, again, a 3-1 lead. Giroux scored on the power play. Yeah, you can go ahead and call Claude Giroux a little on the hot side.
Yeah, he's hot.
Right now.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Hayes wins it in overtime. Travis Konechny, Bob, go ahead. They just shower your praise on your boy, your father-son relationship, as you call it, with Travis Konechny, which is weird, but go ahead.
Need I say more? I mean, you know, you get down 2-0. It's a night where you think, okay, home and home series, they're not going to have it tonight. And Konechny just looks at the team and says, no, boys, I got you. Scores the goal, makes it 2-1. Columbus gets another one.
He's such a punk. It's great.
He is the best. And that overtime
shut up,
goal.
Like, you nerd. Those, shut up, nerd.
Who, for those who didn't see it, when they scored the overtime goal, of course, he creates it by passing it over to Hayes, who gets the game winner. But they go against the boards to celebrate, and they're all like hugging each other. Patting. He's looking at the other team screaming. Bleep you, beat you again. Like, he is the greatest. He's fun to watch. But it's funny, in those highlights that you showed, Mark, or that you played.
Yes.
When Tom yes. McGinnis describes probably the best play of the night, Joel Embiid with the Euro step. That was unbelievable. I swear, I'm watching it, and I stood up for a second. I'm like, I was waiting for the ref to blow the whistle, because the first angle that you saw, you didn't see when he picked it up and made the move. Mm-hmm. So I thought he might have walked. I was waiting for the rest. And then they showed the replay. I was like, oh, my God. What a good, like, that embodies Joel Embiid, you know, a 7'2 guy that can move like that. But my favorite play from him came on the next trip down the floor, where DeAndre Jordan set up in the lane and Embiid wanted to post him up. He ran right into his gut and threw him like 5 feet. Mm-hmm. Got the offensive foul call.
Yeah.
It's a turnover. But I was like, yeah. That's what I like to see. I loved his aggressiveness and effort last night. I thought it was all there.
Was he going over to DeAndre Jordan to talk smack?
I don't know. When they hugged?
Because he didn't extend a hand to help him up. He went over to say something to him. His teammate, the other Brooklyn Net, I forget who it was, but went over to DeAndre Jordan and helped him up. And I thought he was going to help him up, but he just kind of stood there. And I don't know if he was saying, like, yo, my bad, man. Like, I don't know what he was saying.
Either do I, but they hugged, like, Jordan grabbed him around the net, like, they hugged it out.
Yeah.
So I think
happened
he was,
after, yeah.
I think he might have said, oh, that hurt, didn't it?
Right. They were batting a little bit.
Yeah.
DeAndre Jordan, man. Like, how old is he now?
He's 58.
He's not as old as you think. I bet he's like 32.
Yeah, still, but
been around for a while.
Shut his ass down in the second quarter, though.
Yeah, but that lob.
Or maybe that was Al Horford being on the court with him.
Lob City stuff was rearing its ugly head
again. He's 31.
31. Okay. Yeah. That he looked like he was Clippers DeAndre Jordan on a couple of those plays. Like that's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of that went on Al Horford. Like he just can't figure out or can't get to, which is more alarming. Mm-hmm. Can't get to where he needs to be on those little pick and roll alley oops.
But a couple of them were on Joe.
Yeah, Joe fell asleep on one, definitely.
And I thought of you, Bob, because I was thinking about where's the explosiveness? Where's Joel Embiid getting up there and, you know, exploding off his legs and getting up there to do something to disrupt that?
It's still so weird to me that they don't use him in a pick and roll alley oop hardly at all, Embiid.
No.
Yeah, I mean, through the years, they hardly ever use him. I don't know why. It baffles me, especially when you have guys that can come off of picks on the dribble, like a Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, whoever it may be.
It was one of those things last night, though, with DeAndre Jordan, where you're thinking, is this a Clippers game? Because that looks like Chris Paul's throwing it up to him, right? And then you hear Marv Albert say, you know, it's like Lob City out there. And that's pretty much what it looked like, which was not a good thing. It didn't exactly speak well to the 76ers' defensive abilities in that game. Again, a 44-8 run. And I thought after watching Joel Embiid start out that game, he was going to have 50. He only had 39. Dave in Annapolis. What's up? Oh, by the way, speaking of Maryland, the King Slayer. The King Slayer is the name of the burger.
E-Rock tweeted us
out. Oh, it's a fine item. What's up there, Dave?
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about the new playoff format, the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm a high school athletic director. Kind of lived through the same thing this year. They expanded the playoffs in our... they went from four teams to eight teams getting in. We were traditionally the fourth team. If we were anything, we were the fourth team getting in. And we voted against the expansion because we felt like we earned it to get in. We felt like it was going to get watered down. Well, this year we went 9-0. We were the number one seed. And in the first round, we won. Mm-hmm. But we lost our starting center, our starting receiver, and our starting middle linebacker and lost in round two. And that's where I would, if I'm a two seed, I hate this because, you know, you look at the Chiefs, they were a two seed. Just say you lose Mahomes against, you know, in the game, you traditionally have a bye.
Great point. Yeah. Great point, Dave.
And that's, you know, that's why we voted against it. And, you know, that seventh team getting in. Very rarely, if ever, are they going to win this?
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.